Opia. The ambiguous intensity of looking someone in the eye, which can feel both invasive and vulnerable.
You're a mess, young boy.
Oranges and apples, one nation under God, foreclosed in a chapel. Everybody sitting while they pointing fingers high, horse get straddled. But even I, a snake, hey. And my baby need a rattle. Here we go! One day he gon' detox like Dr. Dre dropping detox. They say one day he gon' detox. He ain't gon' detox, nah, they only see depression when they see his scars. Thinking you a big fish, they don't see you dreaming in a pond. Here we go!
Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a poet, activist, and hip-hop artist, Malcolm London. Just released a new album, his debut album called Opia, and it's getting rave reviews. The Chicago-based musician enlists the help of some of his talented friends, Donnie Trumpet, Vic Mensa, Jamila Woods, just to name a few. They all show up on the new effort, which is not surprising because Malcolm has been a leader in the new poetry movement in Chicago for quite some time. If you're familiar with his name, it's because he has been in poetry, but he's also made headlines after being arrested during protests over the police shooting of Laquan McDonald. The charges were dropped after a considerable amount of pressure was put on the police disputing those events. London has been called the Gil Scott Heron of his generation by Dr. Cornel West, and he joins me in studio now. Malcolm London, welcome back to The Download. Good to see you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man.
So my first question, I've known you for a couple of years. You've been a poet. You've been Louder Than a Bomb. You've done a lot of work. Your activism work. We've seen you in the newspapers and such. Where's the music part come in? Is this a new venture for you?
It's not necessarily new. I've always been surrounded. You know, I mean, I'm friends with Chance the Rapper, Vic Mensa, all these folks. And so I've always been surrounded by it. Maybe the want to do it is new. And it's particularly just because I see it as just another vehicle to have better conversations about things. You know, it's easier to play a hip hop record for a young person in the classroom than it is to like have them read one of my poems. And so, yeah, it's a new journey. But as a young person, I was a terrible rapper. So hopefully I proved those wrongs. When I was 12, my teacher was like, I read a rap. And she was like, that's a very good poem. And so hopefully that grown out of that.
But. Well, I mean, there's obviously tremendous similarities. Talk about the similarities and the differences between poetry and rap.
Yeah, I think, you know, music, the musicality of it all is that even if I read a poem out loud or spit a cappella, you know, there's a certain rhythm that I'm used to creating on my own. And now working with producers, shout out to my man Eric B, EB, he's one of the main mm-hmm. producers on the tape. One of those things is trying to fit to a measure, a bar. And so I've grown so much respect for those artists, for just artists in general. But because you want to make it catchy. You want to bring the music to the voice just as much as the pen.
Have you as an artist, as a lyricist, as a poet, have you learned more about the technical aspect of producing music?
The concept of putting the beats together? Absolutely. Even down to like the notes and the keys and, you know, all that stuff that I didn't think went, you know, some folks make it look real easy. And it's not when you want to put a lot of effort into it, at least if you want to create something beautiful.
You know, you mentioned some of the people, you know, Chance the Rapper, Vic Mensa, and we've talked about these artists on our program, and we've talked to a lot of artists who've come out of the poetry scene here in Chicago. It's you know, I feel like a broken record sometimes talking about how there has been this sort of renaissance, this explosion of talent. Yeah. Led by you and others who have, you know, essentially from the young Chicago authors to what's happened at Harold Washington Library. I mean, this concept of so many young Chicagoans getting together to cooperate and collaborate in poetry.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of where it started. I mean, it was more than just like making art. It taught us how to build community. And, you know, those things, those bonds and those interconnected, you know, ideas are still with us today. You know, Chenna will go off tour and be kicking it with Beyonce, and then like will go to Sky Zone with all his friends. You know what I mean? So I think that camaraderie is still existing. It's not all over Chicago, but it is real, you know, for us at least, and in part because of the people that help cultivate those spaces for us, folks like Kevin Colvin, Brother
Mike. Well, I was going to ask, but how do you get your start? You know, because you're yeah. one of the more well-known poets that have come out of the Chicago scene, but yeah. how did you get your start? Like the West Side Kid? Like, what attracted you to this scene?
I think really just the community. I mean, I was definitely a kid who grew up on the West Side, and I always say I didn't know the West Side existed until I left the West Side. And what that means is that you don't really know how broke you are until you see people with money, you know? And so I went to, like, Lincoln Park, and it wasn't until I just went to, I stumbled upon Wordplay, which is a program we still have at Young Chicago Authors, and I, like, met a girl who had all blue hair and queer kid who, like, said it out loud, you know what I mean? And this, I fell in love with the space and fell in love with the idea to create myself or be able to do that without, you know, pressure or judgment. And so I think that's what I fell in love with first. And I think any young person that has that space to define for themselves mm-hmm. can create whatever they want, whether it's The Cure to Cancer or one of the greatest albums. Shout out to Chino for creating acid rap.
My guest, Malcolm London, poet, activist, hip-hop artist. Let's continue our conversation. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get back with Malcolm here. His debut album is out. It's Opia. It's getting rave reviews. It's out now, and we'll continue our conversation here at The Big Table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at The Big Table, Malcolm London, Chicago yes, poet, activist, and now hip-hop artist. His debut yeah. album, Opia, is out. It's getting rave reviews. Hearing it, I mean, Pete and I were talking about it, and we're like, I know Malk. I know the poetry, and I didn't know that it's obviously a natural extension to get into hip-hop. But let's talk about, we had Donnie in here, and there was one thing that was said that I thought was really interesting. I saw you sort of reference it as well in your stories, is about growing up in Chicago, having to go to a high school that's not in your neighborhood.
Right.
And what that does to a kid when you're talking about having to take a train or a bus to a different place, to a different part of town, and what that does for you in terms of opening your eyes.
Yeah. For me, yeah, that's my perspective was really back in high school. Donnie and No Name were two of my closest friends, and No Name lived on 87th Street, and Donnie lived in Rogers Park, and we were close-knit, right? And so bringing...
And you were living on the west side.
Yeah, west side, right, yeah. So, you know, those are obviously very like, far
that's the
sides.
Far triangle of yeah. Chicago, right?
And so, like, that, you know, that is, I think, in essence, like, really, just even through that interaction, you have so many invisible borders that are broken down. But for me, at least, coming, you know, leaving the west side to Lincoln Park is where I went to high school, or to downtown, or to Rogers Park, you know, I just saw that it was different. And different, not necessarily in a bad way, not that I wanted any of my friends who lived in the Gold Coast to have any less. It just made me question, you know, why not I have any more, you know what I'm saying?
Well, just like you said right before the break, just the concept of, you know, being able to leave the west side, now you know there's a west side.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
But there is something to that, and I mean, that's something that a lot of kids who might be in high school who live in some areas where they just go to the school that's just right down the block or yeah. take the bus right to the school, they don't get a chance to see the way the other half lives or anyone else
yeah.
lives.
Yeah.
That's a big part of how artists are born.
Yeah, I think so. Different perspectives definitely influence what I have to say, what I see.
How does that experience of being friends with people in different places, you know, going to a school that's miles away from where you grew up, how does that influence the music we hear in Opia? How does it influence the poetry that you come up with?
I think it just gives me a wider range of images to pull from. You know, poetry is a bunch of, is imagery, it's detail. And so having more than just, I mean, you could also tell a beautiful story and only live on the west side of Chicago and only be there. But I think it offers that. Yeah, I mean, that's really what I think the artists right now in Chicago are doing, is showing that there are different sides to Chicago. You know, even from the tourists that come here only come downtown, that there is, you know, there is a west side, and it doesn't look like what happens on, you know, 7 o'clock news or 9 o'clock news, and that, you know, those young people have dreams just like, you know, all young people do. And so I think, you know, that's what hip-hop is doing right now.
On the record, I mean, listening to it, the place is a big part of your work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of references to the West Side, but there's also references, I mean, it's not too many times you're going to hear a song reference Kedzie.
Right, yeah, you know,
like,
yeah.
You know,
right, sure.
Like, I mean, but place is very strong to you. Mm-hmm. It means something to be from Chicago, to be from Austin, to be able to rap and spit about the things that you know.
Yeah.
How important is that for you as a musician, as an artist, to reference place?
Yeah, one of my favorite poets, her name's Gwendolyn Brooks, she said, our duty as poets and writers is only to tell the story right in front of our nose. And so, you know, that's important, you know, to tell where I come from, to tell people that there's more here. And then hopefully not only to tell the story, but to change the story, you know. And so hopefully by doing that, by offering validation to that story, hopefully folks will begin to see that, you know, it's complicated. It's not just one thing, it's many things. But that means, you know, there's things to be changed and things to be.
Do you feel like there's an accurate story being told about the West Side or the South Side of Chicago?
No, of course not.
You mentioned it with the 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock news. I mean, are we, as a Chicago as a whole, are we getting an accurate story portrayal of what the West Side is like?
Nah, but that's why you got to go chase different perspectives when they exist. I don't know too many people. I mean, shout out to Saba, but I don't know too many people who are repping the West Side right now. So hopefully when those stories come out that people listen
to. That is something. I mean, we've had conversations a lot, like Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin's on, you know, and we'll talk about the West Side. But you're right. It almost always is about some of the more negative storylines.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to fix something, whether it be gun violence or poverty, things of that nature. I mean, is that difficult for you being from the West Side to know that whenever you hear the West Side, it's only in that context?
Sometimes, but I think I just know the truth, you know, and so part of that is like just trying to prove the haters wrong, really.
Malcolm London's my guest in studio tonight. He's got a new album. It's Opia. It's getting rave reviews. You can find it on iTunes, Tidal, all the places that you can find new music. All right, let's take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. Let's talk about activism and its role in your music, because that's the other side of you. You know, you've been sort of a voice for the movement, the political movement, the activist movement here in Chicago for a number of years now. And like I said in the lead at the beginning of the hour, ran into trouble a little bit when you were arrested at a protest after December of last year. We'll talk with Malcolm London some more here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the big table tonight, Malcolm London, longtime poet here in Chicago, as well as an activist and a hip-hop artist, as well. His debut album is out. It's called Opia, and it's on iTunes, Tidal, all the places you can get music. It's getting great reviews. It's a great record. I mean, and I really do like it because your poetry has always been something that I've been attracted to, just in the way that you tell the story of your life, and it's interesting. But it's also the production that you mix with this record is pretty great. And let's talk about the activism, because that is a part of the record as well. I mean, you're not just, you know, talking about what you had for breakfast. There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, you talk, there's some really frank and concise things about Chicago, you know, growing up here and actual current political climate that you use on the album.
Yeah, I mean, activism influences the album and the tape, but just more so in the thought process of it, I think. Activism influenced the tape in ways that, like, I was trying to avoid, you know what I mean, if that makes sense. So I knew people would expect from me, like, an album that would talk about the issues. And
but you don't want to preach.
Right, exactly. Right, because even, like, as a music consumer, I don't like to just be like, I don't listen to Public Enemy all the time, right? Like, I like music that talks about the human experience that I can connect to, that's relatable. And so I think that's one of the things I was trying to prove with the album, or let people know that, you know, one, even as a multi-hyphen person, you know, I'm still a person. And even though I wear different hats in different spaces, you know, I'm still just a kid trying to figure out how to hold all of that. And so I wanted to tell that story, which in turn, the name Opia, which stands for the ambiguous intensity of looking someone in the eye, which can feel both invasive and vulnerable. And so I wanted to just have a vulnerable, honest album, even if, like, I still am figuring out how to rhyme couplets and, like, get my Nas on and, you know what I mean, really flow. I wanted folks to just get a real, honest album that is both about me and fighting for what I believe in, you know, who the women that I love and, you know, my mom, my girl, you know, whoever, and just, like, making a good record.
Do you feel, as an artist, do you have a responsibility to tell people in your work and your art about the movement that you've been a leader on, whether it be with BYP 100 or the Laquan McDonald protests we saw? Do you feel like there's a responsibility, or people are counting on you to tell that story or to send that message?
For me, I feel that responsibility. I think that's really obvious. But, you know, I think that I'm accountable to communities of people that expect certain things of me. I've talked to this about my friends, and I like, do they ever feel that responsibility? And I think, you know, it's also a beautiful thing for artists just to make art and feel like that art is what it is. And that, you know, because I also don't like when a newscast is like, oh, there's this joke that I think Dave Chappelle has. Anyway, where he's like, you know, this 9/11, he's like, let me see what Ja Rule thinks on this. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Sometimes it's not on artists to, like, you know, because even now, like, I think, like, some, you know, even folks to talk about the movement, you know, you shouldn't go to Kanye for, like, what's happening in Black Lives Matter. You know
yeah,
what
but
I mean?
His opinion
matters.
Yeah,
but,
of
like,
course, of course. And they're right. I mean, you get to a certain point where you'd say for Kanye West and or even in Ja Rule that they're a little bit out of the
right,
loop. They're
you know
not
what I mean?
But you're different.
Yeah,
you're different
right.
in the
so,
way
so,
that you're a leader of
yeah,
of a movement.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the newspapers for what happened. And
yeah.
So, I mean, do you find yourself a little bit more conflicted in the way that, yes, you're not like Kanye West in the way that you're living up in your Brentwood estate
right,
with
yeah, sure.
Kim Kardashian, you know, like you're...
I mean, although I like a Brentwood estate with Kim
yeah,
Kardashian.
You'll
I
be
mean,
there someday, you're getting there, but right now you're you know, you understand the movement and
yeah.
you're part of this Chicago political movement that is garnering a lot of attention. So it's a little bit different in your case because you are the eyes on the street.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that way, I do feel a responsibility to talk about the things. Also, for those 3 years I was organized, I'm also proud of this tape. So, for real, if you're listening, you know, go listen to it. Because it's also the first thing I've created in a long time, or at least a complete body of work. I've been working on my book, which is also set to be released next year, Book of Poetry. But it took so long because of the organizing.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
And because of, you know, going to the UN and, like, feeling like every moment is the revolutionary moment, right? Or, like, this is the moment that the change, you know, is going to happen. And so what that did is just like it put me in a weird place with my imagination, because normally if I imagine something, I want to see the world look differently. I'm writing it down, you know, and like having words to connect with my heart. But as an organizer, it's like, all right, I want to, you know, change this thing. And so I go do it, which is a beautiful thing too. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make my art suffer. It just gave me a different creative outlet.
Let's put the organizer to the side. Yeah. Now that you're firmly entrenched in art, you're working on the music and the poetry as well. You have a little bit of time to look at that experience.
Right. Reflect
you know,
on it.
When reflecting on that experience, do you think that the Chicago's better off because of the movement? Because of a move? I mean, are we seeing change that we wouldn't have seen 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, I like to think so, because then I'm not like, oh man, I gave 3 years of my life and didn't get paid for it to like organize it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, absolutely, in this, especially in the city of Chicago. You know, we won reparations in the city, which has never been done in America, reparations to the John Birch survivors. That happened because of, you know, years of organizing. They got the Dyer High School for the teachers who went on that hunger strike. They didn't get
what
they wanted or how they wanted it, but they did. You know, I mean, the UN called out the Chicago Police Department for its corruption. You know, things are happening. People who are not involved in the movement are out here talking about police accountability. They're out here talking about what happens when the court systems lets us down. You know, these are ideas that are pushing, and you can't contribute that to me or one person in the moment, but I think that's the beautiful part, is it does feel like things are changing. So I don't feel like it's a waste, but even as an artist now, I have to be conscious of making sure I shout out people who are doing the work, who don't get to be on WGN, who don't get to be, you know, on late night TV, making sure that, you know, because they're also doing 50 hours a week for mm-hmm. just for doing something they believe in.
Do you see yourself as, you know, as you're doing your art now, do you ever see yourself going back that way, being a leader of an activist in the way that being more entrenched in the movement like you were years back?
Absolutely. I don't think I'm ever outside of the movement. I just, my role is different right now in this moment. And I think, you know, at least in my head, you know, almost being arrested and almost dying, you know, made me realize where I need to like put something out in the world.
Really?
And so, yeah, yeah.
When you say almost dying, just from...
Well, when I was choked, when I was arrested, I was choked and passed out and like saw the light, quote unquote, you know, but eventually came to. I wasn't scared that night though. It just kind of felt, I saw myself like saying, like, oh, this is it. This is what happens when you fight for what you believe in. This is like what governments do sometimes. But then I came to, but it felt like I was going to lose my life. But after that, it made me, you know, realize, y'all.
What impact did that have on you? Not just the near death experience, but going through all of that, going into jail, you know, the charges that were against you, getting out off those charges, like that whole experience, looking back on that. I mean, what's your takeaway from that?
Yeah, basically, really, to fight even harder, really. But, you know, just also getting more creative with how that fight looks, and especially in terms of music. And so, like, you know, I'm here because of James Baldwin. You know, I'm here because of Tupac, you know, changes and keep your head up, right? I'm also here because folks that I do not know the names of organized, you know, whether it be 50 years ago or 20 years ago, organized for a better school, organized for the right to vote, right? I'm also here because of them, but what inspires me was the music and the culture. And so, you know, just getting back to being a cultural worker as well as an organizer and a worker for the people.
Well, it starts with the new album called Opia. It's out right now. You can get it on Apple Music, title, hip hop artist, Spotify, of course. Hip hop artist, poet, activist, Malcolm London in studio tonight. Malcolm, great to see you, and thanks for coming.
Yeah,
we appreciate
thanks for having me.